much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Let me ask you a question. I have a question. I'm gonna take a little short quiz here. How many people are doing really well today? Can we have some thumbs up for all those that are doing well? Yay!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I am Kevin.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a quick question? Have you ever seen the movie Steven Seagal back in the 80s? It's a martial art movie?
Yeah.
And what is your opinion of Steven Seagal?
Of Steven Seagal?
Yeah, Seagal.
Seagal?
Yeah.
What is my opinion of him?
Yeah.
He's a pretty cool guy.
And now,
for those of you just joining us, we are all going to die.
Our feature presentation.
Supposedly, Doto is back in town.
Really?
It's really,
great news.
Really tough to pin that guy down. But supposedly he's back in town and he wants to make it in showbiz.
Really? He wants to make it in show business?
Right, yeah.
Oh, he should have brought that up. We could have done something to help him with that.
Take it a new direction.
Right.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 20th of May.
Just listening to that interview we did with the fighters, UFC fighters yesterday for 173, and I was thinking I'm going to be in Las Vegas this weekend.
Right.
Do I go to the fight?
Well, I mean,
you're the guy who said, I'm so excited.
It seems like there'd be a lot of people, though. Seems like it'd be, I don't know.
Of course there's a lot of people. It's the MGM Grand, right?
Yeah, but that, like how many people?
I don't know. What does it hold? 15,000?
I've never been there. I didn't know if it was 16, like 5,000. It's like 15,000? Yeah.
Like there's a difference to you between 5,000 and 15,000.
Good point.
Seems like a lot of people.
This is what we have to endure with Bean. Hey, that sounds great. I should go to that. I'm not going to, but I should.
But I should go to that.
Right, but you won't!
Type of experience that I could take with me. You
right.
know, that I could think about.
Yes. And for anyone else, I would say, go and enjoy, but you're not going to go no matter how much conversation is had.
You don't know, man.
I actually do. I actually do.
Hey, before we get started in today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Stairway to Heaven, right?
Right.
You guys are with me?
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure where we're going yet.
No, just say yes. Yes, we are.
Yes, Bean.
Stairway to Heaven is a song from 1971, but it's a song that has been so popular that I think, am I wrong about this? I think you'd be hard-pressed to find many people who have not heard it.
Correct.
It is one of those songs that even if you don't like Led Zeppelin, you don't like classic rock, you're interested in new things, at some point eventually you're going to hear Stairway to Heaven because you can't avoid it because it's, what's the word, ubiquitous, I think. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, look that up later, but I would say, it depends on age. If you're 17,
but I'm saying,
no, but if
I'm saying even if you're 17, it seems like it's one of those songs that you're going to come across at some point because it's freaking Stairway to Heaven.
Sure.
Well, it's in the news right now, and it is it's one of these. It's the latest in a lawsuit, one of these lawsuits that we hear about from time to time where Led Zeppelin is being sued for ripping off Stairway to Heaven.
Now
a lawsuit was filed this week.
What'd you say, 1972?
71, right, exactly.
Well, where were those people then? Where were they?
And we've seen these stories. We've seen it happen with Michael Jackson. We've seen it happen with a lot of bands and artists over the years. But the band is called Spirit, and they are contemporaries of Led Zeppelin. They were around in the 60s and early 70s. They had a song, Kevin, that you might remember called I Got a Line on You that maybe you've heard. Well, anyway, they're claiming that this song, Stairway to Heaven, the intro was stolen from a song of theirs called Taurus. Now, some of their evidence is that the bands did know each other. They toured together in 1968 and 69, and Spirit played that song, Taurus, at shows that Led Zeppelin was also on the bill. So Led Zeppelin has at least heard the song, okay?
All right.
So now they're claiming that they ripped off the intro, and I thought it might be interesting, even if you don't care about this kind of music, to listen to a little bit of Taurus and see if you can, if you know Stairway to Heaven, see if you can hear the part maybe that Spirit is claiming was ripped off. In case you're wondering, by the way, Kevin, why have they waited until now?
Yeah.
The band Spirit, including the man who wrote the song, Randy California, who's been dead for some years, says they've waited until now to challenge the song's authorship because they did not have the means to pay attorneys. They could not afford to file suit. I don't know what's changed. I don't know why they can afford it now.
What did they just hit it big?
It doesn't seem likely because the band's been broken up for decades. But let's listen a little bit as we get into the part of the song here. So having said all that,
that's not dissimilar.
It sure sounds a lot like Stairway to Heaven, doesn't it?
Wow.
So if you're on a bill with Led Zeppelin and you're playing that song, and then a couple years after that show they come out with their song, I guess you'd sit up and take note, right?
Yeah, I imagine. But then right there, did it change?
Yes, that's it.
That's the part they ripped off?
That's like so iconic, that beginning.
It's iconic because of Led Zeppelin, though, not because of Spirit. And maybe that's their point, right?
Wow, that's a tough one.
Randy California, by the way, did do an interview some years ago before he died. And he said, Stairway to Heaven was a ripoff. The guys made millions of bucks on it. Never said thank you. Never said, can I pay you some money for it? He said, it's kind of a sore point with me. Maybe someday their conscience will make them do something about it. This was years ago he said this, but they never filed suit until now. So it'll be interesting to see what a judge says if he sits down with both pieces of music and has to decide whether it's actually a ripoff or not.
But it's really like the first 30 seconds. I mean, it's not.
That's right. That's it, yeah.
Is that enough? I mean,
it's a melody.
Yeah.
I mean, if all you're arguing is a melody, it doesn't matter whether that melody goes on for 30 seconds or 30 minutes. It's still your melody if you wrote it.
If it goes on for 30 minutes, you have trouble. That's a long song.
So if you were the judge, Kevin.
I would say, where have you been? Get out.
So there's in your mind, there's a statute of limitations on how long after you're aware of a problem you
right.
can file a lawsuit.
I mean, come on, 40 years or whatever it is.
Okay.
That's probably enough time to have gotten your crap together and maybe brought the suit. You know what I would do if I was the judge? Yeah, they ripped you off. You should have done something about it in 1973.
Denied. You
right.
get nothing.
Thanks
you
for coming
nothing.
In.
All right. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled on that.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Can I say this? It sucks.
It might suck. We never claim it's going to be great. But it looks like it might be okay.
All right.
We're going to take some calls from you in the 6 o'clock hour if you save someone's life. You saved somebody's life.
Happens every day.
Seems to happen every day yeah. to everybody else. None of us. I don't think any of us have saved a life.
No.
Well, the king claims that he did last week.
Yeah, well, the king.
That's kind of what got us on the topic is he claims that he was out and a situation happened and a super Dave sprung into action and
sure.
saved a person's life.
Right, yeah.
So we'll hear his story and then we'll hear yours.
What's up with Florida on today's program?
What is up with Florida?
That's what we'll find out.
I think you'll answer that later. I don't know.
No, I think we'll continue to ask that later. I don't think we'll ever answer that.
The Bachelorette Report with Petros.
Oh, that's started.
Petros Papadakis. Yeah.
That's back.
I guess that was last night, I guess.
That Petri dish is back on TV.
Chris Cornell will be in the studio.
Yes, he will.
How about
fantastic.
That? Wow, Lisa perked up.
Lisa showered.
That's why I'm here.
And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014 in the fourth row.
That's pretty
so
cool.
That's coming up this morning as well. And I think we're going to delve a little further into why Bean's dad, Chief, hates him.
How dare you?
Coming up in about a half hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Tuesday morning, time for Ralph Garber to join us with the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
Hey, boys and girls. Tragic news. From the showbiz community this morning, Michael Jace, actor who played most famously a cop in TV's The Shield, has been charged in the fatal shooting of his wife.
Oh,
wow. April Jace, 40 years old, was found shot to death in her South Los Angeles home by cops who were called there to investigate a shooting, and they have detained Michael. He played Julian on that show. He was the rookie cop who was gay. He was trying to keep
yes.
it from
oh, right.
the African-American actor.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yep.
Great actor.
Good, yeah,
yeah great role. And
not as good in this story.
No, not as good in this story. There's no history of domestic abuse between the two, but cops are currently investigating. It appears as if he is the only suspect, so it looks like they know what happened. Mm. And now you've got two young kids, by the way, who are without a mom and eventually probably will be without a father if he goes to jail. Like it's expected he will. So no one really knows what the story was there, but still, tragic news.
It's rough.
Much better news is that Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone still know how to party after all these years. The UK's Daily Mail reports that they hit up a party for The Expendables 3 during the Cannes Film Festival, and Schwarzenegger and Stallone decided to waltz together. They got on the dance floor.
I'm sorry, I thought you said waltz.
I did.
Together.
They got together, they clasped hands and waists, and proceeded to waltz across the dance floor together. Like real men. Like real men do.
Is that what real men do?
That's right, Kevin. They waltz together.
Okay. I saw some of that footage from Cannes where they were all out there for Expendables. Mel Gibson has turned into a homeless guy, right?
Well, he does have a an extensive beard.
Just big, bushy, gray hair.
Giant, crazy beard. And
wasn't
crazy
he sexiest
hair.
Man alive just a few years ago?
And still is, if you ask elderly homeless women. There's going to be a sequel to The Omen. Well, another sequel to The Omen, I should say. There have already been a couple sequels to the 1976 original film, which still, in my opinion, is one of the most terrifying films in the world. Just, you know how I feel about the creepy kids.
Sure.
And Omen has it in spades.
You are all going to die tonight.
That's how I feel when I watch that. Damien the Omen 2 was in 78. Then Final Conflict was in 81. There were some made-for-TV movies as well as Omen 4 in 1991 and a remake of the film in 1995. But this one will be another sequel about the kid, Damien, who's all grown up now and faced with a series of supernatural events that surround him, must face his true destiny. He is
the Antichrist.
Really? He didn't turn out well?
Didn't turn out well. Huh, well, that whole 666 thing on his head and with the whole being son of Satan and all those things. So that's coming to you on the, by the way, coming to you on the Lifetime cable network.
What?
Yeah, sure. You know how Lifetime loves their horror. I've seen a lot of shows on the Lifetime that are horrible.
Wow. Not on purpose.
Justin Bieber's been offered a new gig. Our buddy Larry Flint has announced he will pay Justin $1 million to do a commercial encouraging men to stop outsourcing visits to strip clubs and from now on only buy American strippers.
Hmm. But he's not American.
Okay. But he certainly knows the product.
Yeah, true.
So wait, I'm confused. Larry's cause is don't hire foreign strippers? Some of the foreign strippers are the best strippers.
No, don't you go out to foreign strip clubs.
Go
to American strip clubs.
So confine your strip club activity to the U.S. of A.
Yes.
Gotcha.
The ad would feature, according to
that's just dumb.
Larry Flint's company,
that's stupid.
Justin kissing a naked woman wrapped up in an American flag, burying his face in her 38 double Ds, and saying to the camera, keep it here in the good old U.S. of A, and keep the lap dances coming when you turn 21.
Larry's gone bye-bye.
No word yet on whether Justin's camp will accept or not. They're even sweetening the deal. They are offering him a huge birthday party.
Okay.
When he hits the age of 21 next March. If Justin says no, Charlie Sheen, they say, is their backup choice. So they're not giving up. They're going with a celebrity spokesperson. And sure. I hope they get it.
I came up with a way better job for Justin Bieber, by the way. And I think you guys are going to be on board with this.
All right.
Marstronaut.
Marstronaut.
Ooh, one-way trip.
Put him on that one-way trip to the Red Planet.
Love it.
What do you think?
Love it.
I have a better idea. We tell him we're sending him to Mars, and we sit him just on top of a big pile of TNT.
I get
one of those Wile E. Coyote plungers and just, boom! Have a good trip.
Oh, my God. Oh, something went wrong.
Oh, the humanity. Our Mars spacecraft, something has gone wrong. It must be an O-ring. And then we just mop it up and get on with our lives.
I like it.
Spent a lot of money sending him to Mars. Today's celebrity birthdays. Busta Rhymes is 42 years old today. Good old Busta.
Busta.
Oh, Busta.
He's one of the fastest rappers in the world,
I think.
The
kids love Busta.
They do.
Do we have any Busta rapping? Remember you guys talked to him on the red carpet once, and he went off on a lengthy, rapid tear. Or this.
I always think he sounds like this is the last song he's ever going to be able to do. He's got to fit it all in.
He's got a lot to say.
Slow down.
Actor Timothy Oliphant is 46 years old. You know him, of course, from That
Justified.
Justified. He was also Hitman. Remember Hitman? The movie
I
Hitman?
Love that
he
movie.
He was great in that film. Actor, producer Tony Goldwyn. You can see him as the president on Scandal right now, 54 years old today. And singer Cher. Cher. The singer Cher. Cher.
Cher.
Legendary icon Cher. Celebrates 68 today.
She's only 68?
If she could turn back time, she'd still be old. Thank you. Thank
Don't
you so
applaud.
Much. Thank you. It's good to be back. Try. Kyle. Make sure to tip your waitresses.
That's the name of a Cher song.
What? I had no idea.
No, I'm sure you did.
If I could turn back time. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
By the way, I wanted to give you guys an update on the weekend that my dad and my brother had out in Las Vegas. Remember we talked about it last week, how I was sort of disinvited?
Well, yeah, Bean bought tickets to go join them. It's just his brother and his dad. Those are the only remaining Beans left.
Yes.
And Bean called and said, hey, I'd like to join you guys with that Cramp Your Style. And Chief, which is Bean's nickname, said, you know what? It would have been. My son and I are going to have a good weekend, and you're not really welcome.
I wasn't invited, yeah. Well, they had plans. I tried to catch up with them. I called the house a couple times over the weekend, and I got no answer because I guess they were out. And Saturday night, they sent me a whole bunch of photos of their day out on Lake Mead, out on a boat. And how my 76-year-old dad knows young women in bikinis, I don't know. But they were on the boat with them.
Yeah, plenty of room, huh?
it sure looked like it.
And that's why we say Chief hates Bean.
Chief hates Bean. Chief hates Bean. Oh, my God. The Chief hates Bean.
Hate.
I'm certain that's not the case. It's just some sort of a misunderstanding.
Right.
But I guess producer Dave lined up my dad, who's on the phone with us right now from Las Vegas. Hey, Chief, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Good.
How's it going with Brother John?
We're having a hell of a time.
Are
you? We are having a blast. Yeah.
I got to tell you, Bean did not take that as a snub when you sort of said, don't come to Vegas. It's
good,
just
good.
He didn't take it as a snub.
Good. I'm glad he didn't take it as a snub. I don't want to snub him. I just didn't want him there.
Okay.
Now, what about that? I mean, I didn't tell you that I had already bought tickets because I was actually looking forward to hanging out with you guys this past weekend. But what was the deal? Like, why couldn't you? What? What's going on, Dad?
Nothing.
She just went, oh.
I thought I heard something.
I guess I kind of dodged a bullet there is all I'm saying.
But that's what I don't understand. What would have been so bad? I mean, you guys were out and about in Las Vegas doing a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah.
I certainly could have gone with you. Three instead of two wouldn't have been that big a deal.
I don't know. it was, I don't think it was the kind of stuff you would have enjoyed, son. I mean, we know you're kind of particular in the kind of fun you like to have.
Well,
in quotes.
Yeah.
And we are doing a lot of stuff that involved actual joy.
But okay. But I think Bean would have been okay to just hang out at the house or something if he wasn't interested in whatever you were doing at that time. Not a big fan.
Yeah, that could happen. But then we'd get back to the house.
Right.
And then he would be there.
Now, you only have two sons, and one of them is Bean.
Yeah. Well, yeah. All right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, technically you're right.
I mean, it's not a family of seven or eight, so when you're going to a show or you're going to dinner, I don't know how hard would it be to just add one person. Yeah.
Well, it's complicated.
Okay.
What were you guys doing all weekend? Because I called in the morning and I called at night, and I could not get any kind of an answer.
Yeah, well, it kind of got out of control, quite frankly.
You got out of control.
Yeah. We weren't home much because it just kept snowballing. It seemed like when we first started off just to go out and have dinner.
Okay.
And then we ran into these guys. Apparently, there was a 7-Eleven convention in town. All the guys who own all the 7-Elevens were in town.
Right.
So we went out and partied with them. And then we ran into the Postmaster General, of all people.
Oh,
and so
no! Come on!
He had this private room in the casino. We were gambling there. And he introduced us to the head chef for all the IHOP restaurants.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. What are you talking about?
So he was making us all pancakes there. It's sort of like a mobile pancake set up there. So
I love pancakes. It's my favorite food.
And so we decided to go to a party at his friend's house. Turns out his friend is a guy named Gordon Lightfoot. I don't know the guy, but apparently
Jesus Christ! I love Gordon
in life when he's one of my favorite singers of all time. What are you talking about, Dad?
He's a guitar guy or something, plays music.
He's the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald guy. You heard me talk about and play that song.
Who listens?
Who listens indeed, Chief?
I tuned you out a long time ago. So he's got some girls there who are from out of town.
Right.
I don't know. It's been about a dozen Norwegian models. I don't know anything about the country in Norway. But
you're just making stuff up now about everything that I love.
Girls and Gordo, as I call him now, because we're kind of pals. He says, you want to come back to the house and see my map collection? So I would say,
really?
Yeah, sure, let's go back. So apparently Gordo has got this extensive collection of maps.
I love maps so much.
And so he gave us a tour of his map collection and said, hey, do you want to go out on my boat on Lake Mead? And so we're like, yeah. So it's me and Johnny and the supermodels from Norway and Gordo. And he says, here's what I'm going to do. It's a lot of fun. I like to take my boat up to Lake Mead, and I take another boat out, which is a replica of this Edmund Fitzgerald.
Edmund Fitzgerald, I bet.
That's the one.
And
they scale model that, and then they sink it. They sink it on Lake Mead, and Gordon sings the song as the boat slowly goes down into the water.
That is terrible.
There was fireworks and cocaine and champagne. It was quite the event. So, as you can imagine, we're exhausted.
I would have loved all of that.
No, it wasn't your kind of weekend, son. I don't think you would have enjoyed it.
It's really everything being loved, oddly enough.
I don't think so.
Not so much.
No. You were better off doing, I'm sure, whatever the hell it was you were doing.
What were you doing, Bean?
I think I read a book, maybe, and just sat in the yard for a while, I think.
Yeah. Well, look, come on. That's fun, right? You had a good time?
Sat in the yard, Chief. Pathetic.
I'm glad he got out of the house.
What about this weekend? Could we reschedule, maybe do some of that fun stuff? I can make it this weekend for Memorial Day weekend. My brother's still going to be there.
Yeah.
Oh, before you answer, Chief, he's already purchased the airline tickets.
What? I can't hear you. I think you're breaking.
Why are you doing that? We can hear you perfectly fine.
Phone service is not going well.
It's like we lost him. How unfortunate.
Chief, you still there?
No.
We were just talking about these fourth row seats for the K-Rock Weenie Roast, and Sonny Salas from Whittier won some. Just like that. Boom! Picked up the phone. Now he's going.
All right.
From Saturday. Your chance to win coming up. Hey, superhero Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico, joins us in studio. Hey, Dave.
What's up?
So, you saved a life?
I think I did. No, you guys tell me.
Oh, right there.
We'll
shaky.
Tell you. You didn't.
Well, we are taking your calls. If you have ever saved a life, we want to know what these circumstances were and what that's like and if that person owes you and if you still get paid from it. And we want to know all the details about how you, if it weren't for you springing into action, somebody else would be dead. You can call us at 1-800-520-1067. What's your story, Dave?
Well, of course, since it's me, it's the least minimal action I could do. So,
right.
You know, and if you want complete details, here it is. You know, it's late at night on Pico Boulevard. Mm-hmm. It's dark. It's a cold night, like, you know, every cold night is.
I'm not positive we need that much detail.
Oh, okay. No.
The temperature, I don't know.
It was
59-ish?
No. So I'm pulling up to this red light, and the light's just turning red, and I'm slowing down. I stop, and I just happen to look in my rearview mirror, and I see this big, like, moving truck just barreling down the road, and I'm like, he's not going to stop.
Barreling down the road the opposite direction?
No, coming
your
from
direction.
Behind me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I see a couple, you know, on the corner. The light turns red. They're about to walk. They're about to step off the sidewalk.
Right.
I honk my horn. They step back on the sidewalk, and the moving truck just blows through the red light.
Just right through the red.
Wow.
Right through the red light.
Save them.
And a car was following behind them, and we're both looking at each other like freaked out because we both knew that. That was bad news coming.
Oh, my gosh.
So this truck didn't even slow down, just blew
not
right through
even
the red
a
light
bit.
In the lane next to you.
Yeah, it looked like the driver was just not paying attention, you know.
Dude.
And then, like the light was green for the longest time, and then, you know, turned yellow, and I was slowing down, and then I just happened to see the truck, and
here's why boom. I don't buy this story.
What? Because you're cynical what? And see the negative in everything.
I'm not saying I did the most. All I did was honk my little stupid horn and went, meet me. And the people heard it and you know, backed up.
I'm cynical of celebrities because it seems like celebrities have PR people.
Oh, and I'm then, a celebrity. Thank you, Kevin.
Hold on.
Oh.
And then, you know, that kind of story gets into, so-and-so swooped into action and pushed him out of the road at his own danger. And you just go, no, you know what? Take it easy. Dave honked his horn. Doesn't mean they wouldn't have seen the car coming.
They wouldn't have. I'll tell you what.
Possible. Possible.
And they would have been roadkill to get back out.
But most of the celebrity stories that you see, maybe they saved a life, maybe they didn't. But the spin, because positive, you know, coverage is very important for celebrities. So sometimes I think sometimes they do. And sometimes
in Dave's situation, though, we don't have an alternate universe that we can see what would have happened if Dave had done nothing.
I think I give Dave credit for that one.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's very likely that those people would have been in the crosswalk and been hit by the truck.
But let me ask you this, Bean. Who less than Dave is aware of the surroundings outside of his car?
Like I said, I was lucky enough to look back in my rear mirror. I normally don't. This one time
I
did.
The military could come up behind Dave, invading, and he wouldn't see him.
Godzilla could be out there, and he wouldn't notice.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
All right.
All right.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
What do I get?
Did you have any kind of exchange with these people at all? Did you roll down your window and talk to them at all, or just drive on?
We just went, oh, my God, and they gave him the nod, and I took off his green light.
You gave him the nod, dude. Like, hey, thanks for saving my life. Nod?
Yeah, like, yeah. They're like, oh, thank you. It was late, man. I had to go. I'm going to go to sleep.
Sure. It's good time.
Dave, you should feel good about that. That's awesome.
Thank you. I do. Everyone send me a dollar.
We had a story last week, and we're going to get to your call, James. Don't hang up in 1 second. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you saved a life, we want to hear about it. We had a story last week about, and this happens all the time in New York just because the subway platforms are so crowded, there are so many people on them that people fall.
Right.
It happens, you know, it seems like a few times a year we see a story like this. Well, there was an unconscious teenage girl on the subway tracks last week.
Oh, my God.
Most of the people who saw her did what? Stood on the platform and took cell phone pictures of the train approaching.
That's brilliant.
Really?
One guy, Josh Garcia, jumped onto the tracks and picked her up and got her off of the tracks before the train came through. But it's been a scandal in New York with all the newspapers just like, who are you a-holes that stood there taking a picture?
And they were yelling, smile!
But, I mean, look, not to take anything away from your situation, Dave, because, look, you probably saved those people's lives if they'd have been hit by that truck. This guy jumped onto a train track in a subway while a train was coming and pulled somebody off the tracks. That guy is a hero, right?
You should send that guy a dollar.
We should. We should.
And the bad Samaritan standing around taking photos. What's that deal? All right, let's talk to James real quick, and then we'll take a quick break and come back with all your calls. Hi, James. Thanks for listening to the Kevin Bean Show. You're out in Torrance. What happened?
Morning, guys. Morning, listening.
Good morning.
What happened?
So this is a couple years ago, and I'm in a rehab facility, and I'm having breakfast with a really good friend that I had made there. And all of a sudden, we're having a normal conversation, and his face just hits his plate. He just passes out. So I get behind him, and I've got my hand on his pulse, and his heart starts doing this really funny stuff, and all of a sudden he goes into complete cardiac arrest. So I drag him on the floor.
Are you an EMT?
No, I'm first aid, and I'm CPR certified.
So he's having a heart attack. He's not choking on food.
No, it was pretty obvious that he wasn't choking on food. Usually people choking on food, they struggle. He wasn't struggling. He just went limp.
Just went limp.
And he was doing that death gargle thing, and, he wasn't choking.
Oh,
so
my God.
I drag him on the floor, and I give him two rescue breaths, and I start performing CPR. And at the time that this happened, the count was 15-2, and I'm doing 15-2, and it's, like I said, it's in a rehab facility, so there's cameras everywhere. And it took almost 11 minutes for paramedics to get there.
Oh, my God.
There was construction on the street. And if you ever try to take a pencil and balance it in the palm of your hand and try and keep it vertical, that's kind of what it was like. It was really difficult because I would get a pulse back, and then I wouldn't. And you don't want to give somebody chest compressions when they've got a pulse because you could actually stop their heart. So it was really a difficult situation and difficult to do. But the guy ended up pulling through. And to make matters worse, like I said, it was all being filmed. To make matters worse, everybody in this guy's family is in the medical industry. His mom's a nurse, his sister's a nurse, and they come and they watch the video of me doing CPR on their son, brother, and I'm being, not ridiculed, but I'm being judged by these people, and they don't even know if their son's going to make it. He was in an induced hypothermic coma.
You're being judged by them for what? For
how I was doing CPR, because whether or not I did it correctly.
Hey, a-holes, he's alive.
You're the only one who's doing anything.
But they didn't know that yet.
James, let me ask you this, because we're pretty short on time, but weren't there doctors at this rehab facility? Wasn't there somebody there to assist you, or was it just you and this guy who fell?
No, there was us, other residents, and a couple therapists and some counselors.
Wow. So did he end up being okay? Did he have any brain damage or anything?
Nothing. Wow. Absolutely fine.
That's a dude that's
safe. I will say this. We used to play cards all the time, and he used to always beat me ever since this happened.
Sure.
He has a harder time beating me now.
Yeah, he has to let you in now. He owes you his life.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, the guy never called me.
I hope the facility did the right thing and said, James, you don't have to be in rehab anymore. Get back out there. You've done enough.
Hey, on a side note, everything's fine. I'm completely 100% sober.
And fantastic.
Good for you, man.
I listen to you guys all the time. You guys are great. Thanks for
Thank you. So, no, you're actually great. Thank you so much for the call.
You're great.
That's an amazing story, isn't it?
Yeah.
And by the way, how lucky for this other dude that he was there and knew so much about CPR. Like, I didn't know that thing about you stop compressing when they get a pulse. I mean, I didn't know that. This guy knew what to do. That's amazing.
That was sweet.
All right, Bill, Thomas, Dave, everybody, please hang on. You saved a life. It's your chance to brag about it. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. We're taking your calls on how you saved a life. If you're ever lucky enough to be in that position and you do the right thing and somebody's alive because of it, I imagine that's the type of thing you don't easily forget. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to, how about Phil real quick? Phil's in Costa Mesa. He's out on the road one day. And what happens, Phil?
Was going whitewater rafting, saw a truck go over the edge of a mountain.
Go over the edge of a mountain?
It was carrying watermelons. It almost creamed us. But it rolled a couple of times and came to rest against some trees. Had to climb down to it. Could see the fuel tank had ruptured. And all I was thinking about, and the engine was still running. All I could think about was, please, if you're going to burn and blow up, do it before I get there.
Yeah. No kidding.
I'm going to do my best to save him, but please don't let me die in the process.
By the way, Phil, would keep most people away, is realizing that thing is likely to blow up at some point. That's what would make people not want to run in and try to pull the driver out.
I felt I just had to. I could not let the guy just burn.
See, that's a true you saved a life story.
Yeah.
Pete, I'll tell you why I'm sometimes cynical is because, remember our former producer, Lightning?
Of course.
There's an old couple that had flipped their car, and he's like, he pulled over. He's like, I was going to go to a rock and roll show, but there's no rocking and rolling for me tonight. I'm just going to stick here with you. And he didn't really, like, do anything to save their lives. He was just helping, you know, relieve
just
their fear.
Keeping them company until help came.
Yeah, exactly.
Did we lose Phil, by the way? Did he hang up?
I believe so, yes.
You have to go save his life.
I'm wondering if the guy was unconscious or something, if you have to drag him out. Like, what happened? And did the truck ever blow up? That's what I was wanting to know. All right. Thanks for the call, Phil. Let's move on to Thomas. He's up next from Yucaipa. Hi, Thomas. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
You saved a life.
Yeah, quite a few of them.
Quite a few of them? Well, it's Tuesday. I guess I save another life today.
Yeah. So I was in Havasu with my stepbrother and my pop. We saw a boating accident. A drunk guy ran over a little boat in a big boat, and a lot of people got hit by the prop. So we pulled three ladies out and a little girl. My brother and I had to basically patch up some bad wounds. I had to stick my finger in the lady's neck to stop her from bleeding.
Oh my gosh.
So they got overturned by this other boat that hit them, and they got cut up in the propeller. That's what you're saying. So they're all in the water bleeding when you pull them out?
No.
Okay.
It was a big Formula One boat, and the guy was drunk, and he ran over the little boat. So the prop went up and over the boat and just hit all the passengers.
Dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was
pretty bad. There was an 8-year-old little girl in the boat that my stepdad was trying to help out, and he gave her 3 extra hours, and she ended up passing.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. That's a horrible thing. I mean, I'm glad you were there, I guess, to help the people that you were able to save, but don't you wish you hadn't been there? That's terrible.
It was a rough sight to see. You know, blood everywhere, a lot of limbs that were hurt. had a tie-off run of, like, the field benching.
Now, again, how do you know how to do all that?
You know, it's so funny because at the time, it's like common sense. You know, you have to stop the bleeding, so you cover up the wounds, try and, you know, field dressing isn't the best thing to do, but at the time, you got to stop the bleeding somehow.
Yeah, right. So you're just winging it. You're just doing whatever makes sense at the time, I guess.
Exactly.
Wow. Were these girls hot at least?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said thanks a lot for calling, Thomas. We appreciate it so much. Let's go to Iggy up next on line 5 from Upland. Hi, Iggy. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. You saved a life, too.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Our listeners are goddamn heroes,
that's
by
right.
the way.
Every one of them.
So anyway, I was living in New York for about 4 years in Queens, a little town called Howard Beach. It's basically a little beach town down near Rockaway in Queens. And Hurricane Sandy came in.
Ah.
And in a matter of minutes, our street basically filled up to the second floor. And the entire street became basically like a flowing river. So in our neighborhood, there's a lot of older people who weren't really able to get out as fast as the water came in.
Right.
So with the water coming in from the ocean and the rivers, I mean, it came in so fast, it was knocking down like front walls, doors, breaking everything. Pushing cars, blowing out transformers.
So, Higgy, why were you still there? Why didn't you evacuate? You knew Sandy was coming.
Well, we actually decided to stay because we had a hurricane a year before that, and it wasn't even as bad as they made it out to be. So we actually ended up having a hurricane party. We got to the party. We had one drink, and then the water came in.
Dude. So whose life did you save?
Well, there were several different families that were stuck all on the same street that we lived on. And nobody can get in the water because either they were too young or they had a grandma with them.
Whose life did you save?
There was, I don't even know these people. They were just neighbors of ours. I basically swam from house to house, grabbing person by person and swimming them to higher ground.
Oh, wow.
How many people? how many people?
I would say at least 8, about 3
Dude,
different families.
Make it 25. I mean, seriously, if you're going to tell the story.
We can't check.
Yeah. Right, we can't fact-check your story.
We're just going to believe you, dude. That's awesome. Thank you, Iggy.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
So I guess the point is we should all, those of us who have never been in a position to save a life, we're worthless, right?
Should
we
shut
should just
the
all
F
feel,
up.
Pretty much.
Feel bad about ourselves today, I guess?
Yeah. Okay, good work. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 7.
Next hour, our friend Petros Papadakis joins us talking about last night's return of The Bachelorette. Ralph, I know you're excited.
Oh, yeah.
And Chris Cornell from Soundgarden joins us in the 8 a.m. hour. So stick around for that. Time now for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
What a bunch of losers.
Who's a bunch of losers?
On The Bachelorette last night.
Oh, really? We're always tougher on the guys than we are on the girls.
Well, rightly so. I mean, this batch is particularly zero-tastic. Just a ton of just zeros.
Is that what you like watching? Like, is that what you're drawn to?
The Bachelorette is always harder for me to watch than The Bachelor. The Bachelor for me is more entertaining because I think the women are more overtly nutty.
Right.
The Bachelor, you go through a introductory period of douchebaggery.
Right.
And then eventually their lunacy starts to come through, but it takes you a little bit longer to warm up with the guys.
Try to hide it?
Because, yeah, they've got more of a facade on. But it does look from the coming attractions for the upcoming season that there is fist fights and general machismo.
Sure.
And she's also not very compelling as a bachelorette, the girl they've picked.
Oh, maybe so.
It was Andy. Remember Andy from last season with Juan Pablo? She was the one who told him off and said,
"Oh yeah,
I don't want to do this anymore." And she walked. They asked her to be the bachelorette. And she's just glum. She's just her default is sort of scowl. Aww. That's her default face.
Would yeah, you she's say she's kind of boring? I think.
Would you say? Did you watch it, Bean?
No, but I've seen her like on Kimmel and shows like that, and she just doesn't. I don't look at her and go, "Wow, I can't wait to see many more hours with this lady."
She doesn't have a lot of charm.
So
you
this
know?
Is the first and last Bachelorette report, probably.
I don't know.
All right,
I don't know. We
okay.
gotta see.
All right,
I'll see on next week's show. I was not impressed by this week's show.
All right.
A bunch of douchebags, man.
Yeah.
And she's just so wig. She's my wife said she reminds me of Julie Louis-Dreyfus, and she does visually. She's got dark hair and she's got sort of that look. And I said Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up?
Boom. Burn.
Hey, save it for the air, Ralph. Don't be wasting gems like that at home.
Yeah.
So that gave you an idea of what I thought of Andy last night. I'm just not impressed. I am impressed, however, by the fact that Taylor Swift is getting sued.
Oh, sweet.
Boom!
What?
Yes! Finally! What? Finally! It should be for, it should be a class action lawsuit by all of us.
For, just for being the, too awesome.
Just the general sense of ball kickery she gives us just
guilty
by being alive.
Is ball kickery a thing?
It is.
Just I'm her very being concerned alive by this. I don't know this story, but tell me. I'm very upset already.
She's got this clothing that she has released with the Lucky 13 logo on it.
Okay.
Because, Kevin, because 13 is her favorite number.
It is her favorite number.
Yeah.
Shut up, B.
Yeah, because she's just... She's just contrary, man. She's out there.
She's a bitch.
She was born on December 13th, and she just loves the number 13.
However, there is a company in Orange County, California. Bobby Kletsky is the owner, called Lucky 13.
Oh, sure.
And they've only been around, well, they're new. They've only been around since 1991.
I totally know who they are. I know, I can picture their logo in my mind.
You've seen their logo? They've just,
absolutely.
They, you know, they're well known in circles of you know, racing and cycles and streetwear. They have they've been around forever.
But didn't they do some sort of search in Taylor's company before they named it to look to see if it was already used?
How do we know? We're not in love with her. Apparently not, because Lucky 13 contacted Taylor Swift and her people and said, hey, over here, Lucky 13, good to meet you. Stop doing that. No response. Ignored. Because she's a whore. She ignored them.
She's not a whore.
Correct.
She's a complete whore.
And so they had to take action, and just hours ago, they filed a lawsuit against her skinny ass. And they are asking for, and I quote, the death penalty. So,
well, that doesn't, that seems excessive.
Let's hope the judge finds in their favor, because
bitch,
I would
got no class.
I'd like to throw the first stone if there's a stoning.
I don't
involved.
Think they stone
they
anymore.
They still stone.
I don't think they do.
They stone.
I love Taylor Swift more than anyone in the world, as you know, but I rule in favor of Lucky 13 in this instance.
And she
should
die.
She is incorrect.
She should
no,
die.
She
the
should not
penalty.
Die. She should change the name of her company.
It should be the death penalty. That's what you're saying.
I think that's extreme.
I saw her for a second on the, what was it, Billboard Awards this past
Billboard
week?
Music Awards.
Oh, yeah.
She's just...
Awesome.
And I just came
the
to
the best person ever?
Shut up.
So
ugly.
Hot.
She's ugly. I'd go
well,
so far as to say ugly. Super
she's
skinny.
Not ugly.
That's insane.
Super skinny.
Look, I'd like to back your play here, Kevin. But.
Super bright red lipstick all the time. Ugly.
She's not ugly.
I'm going ugly.
She's not ugly at all.
Bean can go, oh, I love her more than anyone on earth.
That's true. If Bean claims she's the greatest person
I
on earth,
go ugly.
You certainly can go ugly.
I gotta that's go true. Ugly.
They're both equally ridiculous.
No, I do love her, but I am objective. For instance, I'm not siding with her in the lawsuit just because I'm a fan of hers. I think she's in the wrong, but I'm also not going to, I can't argue that she's not attractive. She's very attractive.
Nope.
She could model if she weren't a singer, Kevin.
Nope.
She certainly got the brains for modeling.
That
that's for
she
sure.
does. We yes. can agree on that. Yeah.
I think she's attractive, but I don't find her. She's not top 10 showbiz material. Now, that we all can agree on.
That's
also in the Lucky 13 lawsuits. They're asking Bean also to be put to death.
Is that
so,
right?
Yeah, I'm all in favor of these people. I think that they do good work.
Come on, Judge, do the right thing.
Come on, Judgy Wedgie. Today's celebrity birthdays: Busta Rhymes. Indeed, he does.
Bust the bus! Bust the bus! Flip mode! Flip mode in the house! Bust the bus!
Bust the bus? Is that
I don't
a
know.
Thing? Is that...
I don't know what he's doing there.
He's just being generally annoying.
That's what he says.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you because you're stuffing your face full of food again.
No one could tell, Ralph.
Yeah,
no one could tell.
Could tell.
Nope.
No, it's
didn't
here.
Sound like that,
exactly
first of all.
That's what it sounded
nope.
like.
And that's what he says in his songs.
What do you think the average time is in between bites for beer mug, just in general, lifetime? How much
zero.
Time do you think
zero.
Goes by?
Zero.
Is that the average time when it's not happening?
I don't think so. Maybe when he's asleep, but probably he's
no.
got food
he's
just
got
perched.
A feeder. He's got
yeah.
a feeder.
I think he's got a feeding tube.
He
absolutely.
Hires somebody just to come by and shovel it into his maw while he's sleeping.
The only time, the only time he's not eating is when he's complaining how fat he is.
That is awesome.
Timothy Oliphant is 46 years old today. Tony Goldwyn turns 54. And Cher. How many icons, you know, can just go by one name, man?
Yeah.
That's
very
all
few.
She needs. She is 68 years old today. And look, I know plastic surgery, blah, blah, blah. Still looks pretty good for 68.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm sure Kevin thinks she's ugly, too.
Well,
I mean, I don't have the category of it for 68. I guess she looks pretty good for 68 if you compare it to all other 68-year-olds.
And I think even compared to people who do a ton of plastic surgery, which she obviously does,
yeah.
for some reason she must have a good doctor or something because it doesn't look nearly as sort of fake and hideous
yeah,
as
that does go
a lot of people
south
do. South, you know?
For a lot of people.
I know. She seems to have – she seems to know how to do it. So cheers to Cher and her plastic surgeon. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now, though, we got to do a follow-up on a story that Ralph broke for us last week. I had not heard about this report in Star Magazine, but apparently there is some sort of new cult among young Hollywood, including Jaden Smith, Kyle Jenner, Willow Smith. We were talking about how Jaden is always posting these BS philosophical things on his Twitter account.
Yeah, like I think one of them was something like... if you think you know, then you don't know.
Right.
You know, what are you doing?
Just gobbledygook nonsense. Well, apparently there is a guy, a very controversial cult leader named Bhagwan Sri Ranish. He is known to his followers as Osho, and he runs, you know, basically a new kind of religion, a new cult called the Organites. And I don't know anything about the Organites. I know it involves like crystals and pyramids and nonsense, but we wanted to find out more about this because, you know, God forbid we end up slandering a good thing. So we asked producer Dave, who can you line up for us? And we have a spokesperson for Organites, Dr. Aristotle Freedom, joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hi, Dr. Freedom.
Good morning, man. Who are you?
We're good.
Great.
So have I said anything incorrect so far? I wanted to have a clean slate before we brought you on so you could fill us in on what this Organite is all about.
No, more or less, man. You got it.
Okay. All right. Now, this Bhagwan Sri Ranish, Osho, is he still alive?
All praise Osho, man. All praise Osho.
Is he still alive?
No. Osho is sadly no longer with us, man.
Okay.
He's not in body, but he's certainly here in spirit.
Sure. But his teachings live on. How are people finding out about the Organites all of a sudden? Why is it popular right now?
Well, there's a book out of Osho's teachings that apparently is getting very popular with the young celebrity set, which I think is, frankly, awesome.
Sure.
And you know, the Organites, Oregon has been around for a long time, starting in the 50s with a psychologist named Wilhelm Reich.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Then I say, Reich on, man.
Okay.
And
you happy with that?
I am, yeah.
And
what? Happy with everything, man. Why are you so negative?
What's the main belief?
The main belief is through Organite, which basically are resin pyramids that we pour together into molds using unguents, oils, crystals, and metal shavings, we can make devices that are able of absorbing negative energy and projecting positive energy. It transmutes it, man. Transmutes it and saves the world, right?
Is there some kind of science behind this?
Science, man. You're all hung up on that?
Well, no, I'm just asking the question.
You're all hung up on facts?
Well, yeah.
That's your bag, man.
Well, most religions are short on facts. I mean, most religions are just faith-based. You believe what you want to believe, but what is it that's appealing to...
It really isn't a religion so much as it is a philosophy.
Philosophy, okay.
And the fact that we know that Organite pyramids work.
How so? Like, Dr. Freedom, how have they helped you?
Well, they're well known to be able to battle demons and zombies and aliens.
How?
By transmuting negative energy into positive energy. Hello, listening skills.
Well, I heard you say that, but it doesn't make sense.
Oh, okay. Let me put it in a way that you can understand.
Thank you.
Me take bad, turn make good. There you go, Cro-Magnon man. You feel better now?
What about Jaden and Willow Smith? They're just stupid, right?
No, man. They are already high up in the order of the Organite Society, which, by the way, is a secret society, so shh.
Yeah, aren't you kind of ruining that by saying that it's a secret society? I mean, you know we're on the air, right?
Pyramid my butt. I couldn't have done that.
Okay, good. There are all sorts of ways for you to be in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show, including our Facebook page, also on Twitter at Kevin and Bean. And, of course, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is available for you 24 hours a day at 323-520-AFRO. You call us. It's our voicemail machine. We play it back on the radio. What's happening?
Hey, Lisa May. I love your booty with bacon.
All right.
I mean, I guess that's taking a good thing and making it better, I guess.
Lisa, what disease did you say you had that you can't eat? That you can't eat anything but clouds?
Clouds. Hey, Lisa May. I also have Hashimoto's, and I just want to say, yay!
Let's expect that ending.
Now, I didn't see the Godzilla movie this weekend, but Hashimoto's is one of those big lizards that he fights, right?
I don't believe that's accurate. No.
I'm confused then.
So you're saying that Lisa May has this Quasimodo disease? Does that mean she has a hump on her back now? And if she does, can we get her and Stryker to, like, breed and make some kind of, like, humpback-tailed baby? I don't know. Sounds kind of hot.
Sounds kind of hot? In what world?
In Bean's world.
Yeah, remember when that guy with no arms came into the studio and the first thing out of Kevin's mouth was, 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a thumb war. Yeah, that was awesome. Bean, you're a dick.
I like his conclusion.
What did I do?
I like his conclusion. I'm the one that did it, and yet Bean's a dick. We did the topic a couple of days ago, yesterday, I don't know, it all blurs together. Things that make men cry.
That's right.
I'm a man, and I'm crying because you guys haven't fired Beer Mug yet.
Join the club, man.
This message is brought to you entirely in reverse. You did rocking it up and down, you put all of you on
it. It's the hardest Afro line call in the world.
Yeah, I just want to make a quick shout out to boobies. Yay, boobies.
All right. Thank you.
Can't argue
this
that.
Message is for Ralph. Hi, Ralph.
I'm not sure this. Are we using this answering machine to the best of our abilities, do you think?
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Wow! What's going on?
Gonna have some fun. I don't know how Ralph picks stuff that he's gonna bring back, but that certainly is one of them.
I love it.
It's taking the Southland by storm, absolutely.
You, Ralph. I hate you. Stop it. Let it go.
So he's on board.
Yep.
I'm in Anaheim. It's 85 degrees, and it's 7 a.m. F*** you, Al Gore. You're an asshole.
That is Al Gore's fault, by the way.
Absolutely.
We had Paul McCartney on the show, on the phone, and he may have been still saying goodbye when the line went dead.
The line went dead all by itself?
Well, I may have put, you know, hung up on him.
You say goodbye, but Kevin's already hung up. Hung up. Don't know why you say goodbye. Kevin's already hung up.
Let me hear this part.
See you guys. See you guys.
Yep, that's what happened.
Bean doesn't understand the Coldplay scavenger hunt. Bean, I have to remind you that you once had a contest where someone had to bring you a bus and then pour ink over it. It was an inky bus, an inky bus for incubus tickets. That was your scavenger hunt. Bean, pot, kettle, bean.
Right, and because of that, I thought that we effectively had killed the scavenger hunt as a thing. I think that's why I had trouble accepting that Coldplay was trying to bring it back.
Apparently not. And finally, a request.
Seriously, play Big Booty Bitches. Do it. You know you want to. Do it. Please.
I forgot about Big Booty Bitches.
Wow, it's been a while.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. I got big booty bitches, big, big booty bitches. I got big booty bitches, big, big booty bitches. Ooh, big booty bitches, big, big booty bitches. Ooh, big booty bitches, big, big booty bitches. I got big booty bitches, big, big booty bitches. I got big booty bitches, big, big booty bitches. Big booty bitches. Big booty bitches.
they put a lot of work into the lyrics.
It doesn't sound like it's done yet. So, before we go to pee on the phone, Ralph, yeah. what was your level of excitement as you sat down in front of your ABC TV last night for the return of The Bachelorette?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would say it was a 7.
A 7, okay.
Only tampered by the fact that I'm not a big Andy Dorfman fan. She is the Bachelorette.
Okay.
I was not a fan of hers last season when she was telling off Juan Pablo. He's okay. And I found her a little bit dour, and her default facial expression seems to be a grimace or a scowl, which I didn't find her very charming and not all that attractive to me personally. So I was tampered.
Okay. 7. All right, let's go to the P now. He's on the phone, as he is for the Bachelorette Report. P, what was your level of interest last night at the return of the show?
A 1.
What the what?
Whoa! Oh,
so you
gosh.
Won! You barely even turned the TV on last night.
Well, I worked last night at Fox, so then I drove home, and like it's like 11 o'clock, and it took a fist of bourbon to get through.
All right, but P, let me ask you this question. Had you not worked last night and you had a normal night where you could have watched it, what would your interest
be? I agree with Ralph. You know, I'm around a 5. I don't like this chick. I don't like the grimace, as Ralph so eloquently put. On her face, or her face is like the face of like a Russian woman in the cold. she's rigid and awful and mean. She verbally abused that poor cocker spaniel of a man, Juan Pablo.
Yeah.
And I don't like her. I want to see her humiliated. I want to see her clowned. I don't like her.
All right.
Okay, so the upside is, Pia, when I was watching the coming attractions for this season, she does seem to be crying a bit, so that makes me feel better.
I hope her tears flow enough to fill the Mississippi River.
All right, well, this may be the very last Bachelorette Report, then.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man. When Petra's Papa thinks so, he's holding hands, kissing and hugging at sunset, watching The Bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show? It both sucks. About The Bachelorette?
Well, it sounds like neither of the guys gave the premiere episode a first impression rose, so I guess we'll see what happens from here on out. But what were your highlights last night, Ralph?
Well, I think the cornucopia of douchebags that she has to choose from is befitting a woman of her caliber. I don't care for her, and they gave her what I think, P, you have to back me up or disagree, I think the sorriest batch of men I've ever seen on this program.
You know, it's hard to say. I don't know if I'm getting older or I'm getting jaded with the show, but it did really seem that they emptied out a special toolbox.
I do think that we as guys have much less patience with douchebag guys than we do girls. Because
well, that's part of the greatness of The Bachelorette. And look, don't get any ideas. I mean, I'm going to take a quick vacation in June, but we're going to see this damn thing through like
right.
we do every season.
Good
well,
man.
All right, take it easy, though. Let's not make that decision in haste.
We're in. P and I are committed.
Yeah, it sounds like it. P was a 1.
Hey, Ralph and I are like, in the breakfast, you guys are like the eggs and the potatoes, and Ralph and I are like the bacon. We're all the way in.
That's right.
Can you guys please address, because I did not see the show last night, but how did they handle the fact that one of the guys that showed up on night one died shortly thereafter? Did they just cut that right out of the show?
No, they dedicated the season to him. They had a very special preface to the episode and talked about what a swell guy he was, and they dedicated the season to Eric.
So they handled it tastefully, it sounds like.
Yeah, apparently he sticks around. Looks like he gets pretty deep into the competition.
Yeah, and it was downhill from there. And the guy that dies, I mean, I don't want to say that it's weird, but it is weird to have a guy on a reality show and watch this thing play out, and he died in a parasailing accident.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, well, he was an explorer.
Yeah, he's going to all the 195 countries around the world. That's what he was in the middle of.
Mm.
Wow.
And he's a rock climber and an explorer and a parachutist. And I told my wife last night, who loves to travel, see what happens when you travel?
Ralph's not a big travel fan.
You die in a parasailing accident. That's what happens.
At high risk, you know, and everybody knows parasailing outside of U.S. soil is dangerous.
Yeah.
Now, I remember from previous Bachelor seasons, Ralph, they always find a contestant or two that has a bizarre job. Like, I'll never forget the Jumbotron operator. Who did they bring us this week?
The pantsapreneur.
The what?
The pantsapreneur.
What's that?
He's a pantsapreneur.
He makes pants?
Yes.
Okay.
But he calls himself a pantsapreneur.
Why?
Because he's an entrepreneur who has his own pants company, so he's, right. He's a pantsapreneur.
Okay.
What about the guy that's a social media marketer?
Yes.
Like, that guy tweets for a living.
That's what he does. I was a sorry-ass bunch of occupations for these guys.
Yeah, I feel bad that the guy died. There's no doubt. But the rest of these guys suck balls.
They do. There was a bartender from Utah was there. And I was thinking, if you're going to be in, like, the least active bar community in the world, how bad a bartender do you have to be a bartender in Utah serving near beer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pouring drinks with that weird freaking gauge that they have to use, which
That's
is like
right.
a drink condom.
<That's right>. And, Pete, did you find there usually is one or two obviously gay guys in the mix that just haven't come out of the closet yet.
It looked like they were going to go in the bathroom and freaking go for it.
Last night there was an actual love connection made between two men during the cocktail party between Andrew and Patrick.
Fantastic. That's strange casting.
It was like a skinny tie conversation, like, how skinny is your tie? Wow, mine's pretty skinny. And then they started talking about F1 and high-fiving and creeping people out.
Andrew and Patrick fell full-on in love in front of the cameras last night. I brought in a clip so you can hear the blossoming relationship between Andrew and Patrick.
I race cars on the weekends.
Shut up, dude. I'm really into cars. I'm really into Formula One.
Me too.
You're really into Formula One?
Yeah.
Patrick and I actually get along pretty well. Guy dresses well. He's very suave. Feel like we have a lot in common.
Oh, Fernando awesome. Alonso is my boy.
Oh, it's in Ferrari.
Yeah, I'm a Ferrari fan.
Okay.
I feel as if Andrew and I are a little bit on a different level than so many other guys. I'm really into Hamilton, Lewis Hamilton. He's my
boy.
Okay. He's definitely more of my caliber kind of guy.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy right now.
You're in the wrong season.
I'm so happy right now.
That's fantastic.
Well, and that's Chris Harrison came out and said if they didn't want to stay in separate rooms, they could use the fantasy suite. That's all I know.
Yeah, that was an interesting moment. I think they've run out of dudes in a way that want to go on there and be humiliated. I mean, it's always been a guy who's a pretty big tool that would want to go on there in the first place.
Right. Yeah.
And now I think they're thinning that herd. You know, so you just really have just the dregs.
Now, was this 2 hours of these guys? Or
hour and a half. Hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
Yeah. Okay. Is that a permanent thing, Ralph? I mean, did they castrate a half hour off of this thing? Because honestly, that would be like a half day of school for me.
I believe they have cut it down, P. Yeah, it's going to be an hour and a half.
Sweet Jesus, thank God.
P, I hate to be the one to bring this up, but if you don't like it.
Hey.
All right.
Hey.
Just saying. I have one question because I know we're running out of time here, guys, and that is since this was the first episode of The Bachelorette, she let all the black guys go already, right?
No.
Like they always do?
No,
she's down, man.
Both black guys made through this round.
Really? They pushed them through to the second week? That's astonishing.
I don't know if any of these black guys are going to get to go to Bali. They don't ever seem to. Like, when they actually start traveling.
Like,
a lot of these dudes are like, you know, they never get to see Istanbul. But let me say this. There's a couple of dudes, and I think she lives in Atlanta. She's a lawyer. You know, she's progressive.
Right.
You know, I think we might have a shot at one of these dudes at least making out with her.
Yeah, I think the Cookie King might last.
The Cookie King.
Yeah.
Oh, he showed her a black cookie and a white cookie, and he was like, this could be us.
It was a black, white, half, you know those half cookies with black cookie on one side and white on the other? Like, yeah. Look at the cookie.
You guys are almost making me want to watch this.
The cookie girl.
Look at the cookie girl.
All right, final thoughts from you guys.
She has a face like an Easter Island statue. What do you want from me?
Yeah, and it looks like she cries a bunch, so I'm in to at least to see the first tears fall. So I want to see at least that happen.
All right, so...
And I want to see that mullet head who pushed the limo. I want to see him try to converse on dates. That should be fun, too.
Yeah, they have a guy that you should check out. He's like a super swole Macklemore.
He is. That's what he looks like.
Okay.
You're right. Without the anti-Semitic costume.
All right, good times, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Next week, you and me, baby.
Next week.
Hey, we're in for the long haul.
All right,
it's like jail.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
And if you want to see that band right there, American Authors, live on stage a week from Saturday, you can at the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014. It's at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater on May 31st. They're one of, about 15 bands or something like that that's going to be playing. And we're looking for contestants right now. If you want to go, 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to earn those tickets. The game we're going to play is not easy. That's all I'll tell you coming up right after 8 o'clock. Hey, Ruff.
Bongos!
The Congos are going to also be on the bill, along with Beck and Foster the People, Fall Out Boy, The Neighborhood.
So it was Bongos.
It's Congos.
Sorry.
Advertising news leads off the Showbiz Beat this morning. After 40 years, Burger King is scrapping its slogan. Do you know what the Burger King slogan is,
what
Kevin?
What was the slogan?
For 40 years, it's been the slogan for Burger King.
You know this one,
You don't
Kevin.
Know, Kevin? Does Gavin know? Does Gavin know?
I don't
Burger
know.
King's going to be pissed if they've been spending this much money every year for 40 years and they you haven't don't know gotten it. Through to you.
Nope.
A guy who loves fast food.
Got nothing.
Burger King.
Right.
Burger King,
Burger
Kevin.
Burger King,
Kevin. Think about it. What do they always say at Burger King? What's the slogan for Burger King?
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99.
No, that is not the
slogan. I don't know. We're going to sit here and we're going to wait until you come up with
it. I got no place to go. I'll wait.
I refuse to accept you don't know Burger King's slogan.
What am I supposed to do with the fact that you refuse to believe it?
Because it's insane because you live in America.
And you've eaten there a billion times and you watch television.
We're the kings of burgers.
I don't know. No, Homer. That's not it. I got all day. Burger King.
Think, Kevin. Come on. Use your head.
Muggs wrote down, have it your way.
Have it your way.
Yeah.
Does that ring a bell at all?
Sure, of course.
Have it your way.
Right. Right?
Is that ringing a bell at all?
Yeah, now.
Ugh. Well, after 40 years.
What do you want me to do?
No more stuff. After 40 years, it's going away.
Okay.
They got a new slogan. Oh, it's going to change everything. This is the game changer right now.
Can I guess?
After 40 years.
Your way is the way you can have it.
Pretty close.
Really?
Pretty close, yeah. Be your way.
Be your way?
Be your way. They took a slogan for 40 years, which was very effective, and it made me think, I can go into this restaurant, and I can order something special, and they will do it for me. Special orders don't upset them. That's what I'm guessing. I will go there and get my own burger. They've changed that effective slogan for 40 years to be your way.
What the hell?
Means nothing to anyone.
Yeah, I don't even understand
that. Hi, welcome to Burger King. Be your way. Yes. Sounds like something Kevin would say.
How dare
it's
you?
It's as if they asked Kevin, what's our slogan? He said, be your way. And they said, all right, we'll use that. Be your way.
That does not sound like an improvement.
It's not. It's horrible. It makes no sense. Unless they're a sponsor on this station, then it's brilliant. Be your way. Be your way. Be your way.
So basically they're telling you to be something, right?
I mean, right.
That doesn't make sense.
Hey, no, it's a, don't it, you mind what I'm doing, Burger King. You right. make it my
you
way.
You be your way.
stay out of being my way.
I mean, it doesn't even make any sense from a grammar standpoint. How can you be your way?
Be your way.
You can do your way. You can't be your way.
Be the way you are.
Are they
customer?
Are they saying you're all unique and you need to continue to be unique, or what's the?
What? Here's what the new motto is intended to suggest to people.
Okay,
that they can and should live how they want anytime. Well, that's just not true. You just can't do that.
No, you
I can't
at
do
all.
Whatever I want whenever I want it.
You can't walk down the street naked because it feels good.
No,
we live in the world.
Also, it's okay not to be perfect. Self-expression is the most important.
Hey, just sell us hamburgers, all right? That's all we're asking
And it's
you.
Our differences that make us individuals instead of robots.
Wouldn't you have loved to have been in the conference room when they hashed this one out?
Someone is justifying their job with this with this slogan change, I guarantee you. It's like, oh, man, I'm not doing anything around here. They're going to notice soon, and I'm going to lose my job. Let's change the slogan. What do you got? Be your way. All right, Bill.
But don't you think
they got the T-shirts?
One person in that room said, I'm not clear on.
I think have it your way still works better. It's just
what
me.
What that means?
Oh, don't be old fashioned. Have it your way. We don't need a slogan that makes sense. We need something that makes people go, what?
Hey, Kevin.
Yes, Bean.
Do you know what McDonald's slogan is?
Loving it.
Wow!
Something.
I'm loving it.
I'm loving it. Pretty close.
Close enough.
All right. Yeah. So something seeps through.
Jared Leto's got a new girlfriend. According to Star Magazine, the Oscar
Sorry, winner, Lisa.
Who's 42 years old.
Oh,
he's
it's
42,
okay. Our love
by
yeah,
the way.
He's 42.
He's 42.
No yep.
Way. Looks like he's about 22.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Bastard. His new girlfriend is model Dimphy Jantz. With a name like Dimphy Jantz.
Dimphy.
She's either the hottest or right. the ugliest woman on earth. It can only go one or two ways.
Well, she's not ugly.
I'm guessing hottest.
She is a 23-year-old model.
Yeah.
That he was seen escorting around Coachella in April. That was the beginning of their relationship, apparently. The two are rumored to be very serious, and they say they have bonded over their love of yoga and meditation. Hmm. That's what it is. That's what attracted him to her. It's her love of yoga and meditation. I'm sure if she was a 300-pound girl with a hair lip, as long as she loved yoga and meditation, he would love her equally as much. Because it's all
they must
about
have a
yoga.
Mutual love of his penis as well, right?
How
I would imagine.
Dare you, sir? Today's celebrity birthdays: Cher is 68 years old today. Actor, producer Tony Goldwyn, also director, very talented guy, 54 years old. Timothy Oliphant, you know from Justified, 46 years old. And Busta Rhymes is 42. Any luck hunting down that clip I was talking about earlier with you guys on the red carpet talking to Busta and he spat out some remarkably quick rhymes?
For I do not believe we have that. No.
All right. I'm going to put a team on that. I'm going to tell them to be your way.
Do we have
see
a team?
If they can get that for me. Yeah, I'm going to get the team on that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Foster the People and Bastille and Fallout Boy and the Neighborhood and Fits in the Tantrums and Back in Avicii and so much more. It's the sold out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014 coming up a week from Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We got tickets you can win all week, including right now with a game we like to call The Hardest Game in the World Part 2.
That was The Hardest Game in the World 2. The Revenge of the Game Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. Coming next summer. The Hardest Game in the World 3D.
It'd be better if we didn't play the...
Yeah, why are we starting with the end? I don't...
That
end
was the outro.
That was the outro.
Well done.
Hey, Mr. Announcer Man.
Kevin and B.
Still at the top of our game.
Loser.
So, A, we should fire Beer Mug, right? We're all agreed on that.
Correct.
Hell yeah.
And B, how is the game played today, Mr. Announcer Man?
We'll be playing you very popular songs performed by bands who will be performing in this year's Weenie Roast. All you need to do is identify the song and artist.
That sounds easy.
But wait, they'll be backwards.
Well, that sounds hard now.
It's the hardest game in the world, too, by the way.
All right, Kevin, who's our first contestant, please?
Hey, Mr. Announcer Man, who's our contestant, please?
Thank you for remembering how the game works, Kevin. It's Richard. He's from Riverside. He works for Pepsi. Yum.
Hey, Richard.
How you doing?
Not so good so far.
It was a rough start.
As if we've never done this game before.
All right, Richard, if I understand correctly, we're going to play a piece of music for you that is backwards. You have to name it by title and artist. If you're right, you go into the drawing. You might just win your way into the K-Rock Weenie Rose. Listen up.
All righty. Oh, man.
Yeah, right?
Is it, Foster the People, Pumped Up Kicks?
It is. How about that?
Good job.
That one's right. that was good. Well done, sir. Hang on, you're in the drawing. That one was kind of cool because
shut up, Omar.
That was good. That's good. That's good. That's good, Richard.
I don't even know who you're mocking right now.
Everybody has worked with me too long.
Who's our next contestant, Mr. Nelson?
Raphael from Los Angeles.
Hey, Raphael.
Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning.
What's happening?
I don't know.
If this guy gets it, I'll give all of you $1.
I hate this game, that's why.
All right. Well, here's your song.
Oh, wait.
Hey, why don't you shut up while I'm playing the clip? Raphael, what is it? Title and artist.
Oh, Pompeii Bastille.
Yes!
Well, we're back up finger, Mr. Bean Baxter.
That's right.
That is correct. Bean? That's my song. Well done.
Nicely done. All right, this game does not seem hard at all, Mr. Announcer Man.
It's easy to play. It's hard to put on the air, apparently.
Who's next?
Kim from Paramount. She works in an office. Mm-hmm.
It's a he, actually.
Oh,
I know. I get it. All my life I've gotten it.
Yeah. Change your name.
Kim.
Just go with Tim or something.
No, I go with Ken. That's what I go with.
All right. Take it easy.
Okay.
What's going on? All right, here's your song backwards. Artist and title, please.
You're right. This is not the hardest game in the world. That was Capital Cities, Safe and Sound.
This is easy.
All right, Richard's in the drawing. Raphael, also Kim, if that's really his name. We have time for one more contestant. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Sam. He's from Torrance. He's a server.
Hey, Sam.
Hi.
What's happening?
Oh, come on!
Sam is now a woman.
You transgendered bastards!
All right, Sam, you know how the game is played. If you don't get this, you'll be the only one who didn't. Apparently, this game is not hard at all.
Sure that I'm going to be the only one. I can
Good
already
luck.
Tell.
Oh, no.
Here you go.
Oh, my God. The Neighborhood Sweater song?
At least that was a good guess because they're doing Weenie Roast. No, that was... That was Beck.
Yeah.
I can barely hear it forward.
If we can get Sam and Kim to switch names, at least we'll have accomplished something. But that's not the goal here. Someone wins their way into the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 a week from Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Lisa May, who's our winner, please?
Our winner's Richard.
Richard!
Yay! Richard!
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 Congratulations, you got tickets to the fourth row.
Thank you very much.
Nicely done. Let's play this again.
That was the hardest game in the world, too. The revenge of the game, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. Coming next summer, the hardest game in the world, 3D.
One of the great voices in the history of K-Rock with the band Soundgarden and Audioslave and his solo works. And it's always a pleasure to have him back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Chris Cornell joins us in studio right now. Hey, Chris.
Hey, thank you.
Sorry it's butt early, man. We appreciate you being here. How you been?
Pretty good, actually.
How early is butt early?
About now.
Okay.
This is it. So, Chris, you're here today for a number of reasons. A, I'm sure you just missed us. But B, Super Unknown is 20 now. Does that blow your mind that it's been 20 years since you guys were making that album?
I kind of think of Super Unknown as later period Soundgarden.
And right, because that was later period, like your fourth album or something.
Well, we had been a band for 10 years when we made that album, which... A lot of bands, you know, that's their entire lifespan.
Yeah, true. If they're lucky.
Yeah, if they're lucky.
Yeah.
So, I thought of that as, like, that was kind of our reinvention period of, wow, we've been a band this long, and we've made a lot of records, and now, you know, we're kind of expanding on it. So, for that to be 20, yeah.
Does it surprise you, as a band who's been together for 10 years, to all of a sudden have an album like that go crazy?
It was a confusing time, I think, in like commercial music, and we actually had a lot to do with helping create that confusion. But it was a surprise, I think, that it was as big as it was.
9 million copies sold, if I remember correctly, around the world.
Something like that. Yeah, eight or nine, something. It was actually on the heels of Nirvana and Pearl Jam having records that were even bigger. So in a sense, it wasn't like we knew it was possible.
Right.
But still for Soundgarden and a world that even then, you know, at radio and MTV was kind of hit song driven and we didn't necessarily have those. Black Hole Sun, for example, was a surprise when I think about it lyrically, especially that became a hit song. So it was, I think we were fortunate in that we made this album that was kind of redefining the band and pushing the boundaries right at the time when people were we had everyone's attention.
Yeah, everyone was
so
looking
for
that.
So they listened to it.
Yeah.
And in that way, I think we were very fortunate.
It's so funny to hear you say that it didn't have hit singles, because obviously we're skewed on this because we were working at K-Rock. You know, we played Fell on Black Days, and we played, Black Hole Sun, and we played mm-hmm. Spoon Man, and we played all those songs. It seems like a million times yeah. each. The Day I Tried to Live, we played. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't imagine those songs were hits, but I guess you're right in the context of pop radio, obviously.
Well,
they
I think that you turned them into hits, but I don't know that we thought that's what they were or going into it.
Right. And, you weren't expecting them to be as successful as they were, certainly.
No. Right? Like Fell on Black Days is in 6/8. It's this weird time signature. It's you didn't hear hit rock songs that weren't like straight four, kind of four on the floor. And,
right.
And so, but that's also what was really satisfying about it. Was, wow, we can actually have a hit radio song where we didn't follow anything even close to a standard formula.
This 20th anniversary release of Super Unknown that we're talking about is going to be available everywhere on Tuesday, June 3rd. And it's everything. I mean, look, if you like Soundgarden, I mean, it's ridiculous how much stuff you guys hung on to. Demos, rehearsals, live appearances, B-sides. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, who was your archivist that you have all of this?
Nobody. Kim is probably the closest thing to someone that you can bank on has stuff. But there was a lot of digging for this.
I was going to ask, when you went to put this together, where do you go? How do you...
You just sort of throw a net out there, like who has
right.
what.
And some songs
so
you would...
Engineers, producers... band members, everybody just kind of saying, well, there's this and there's that. And Kim's a big part of kind of putting that together, I think, in terms of kind of knowing in his catalog brain what's out there and saying, well, there's this and there's that. And if he didn't have it, he knew that it was there and someone would go find it.
How much, if you can remember specifically about Super Unknown, but I guess this is a question for all of the years of Soundgarden, how much do the songs change from the time you or somebody brings it in as a demo and then it gets worked over with the band before it gets recorded? Do a lot of times do they transition into completely different songs than how they started out?
They can, yeah. It depends on the song. And it depends on someone else's willingness to kind of try to alter it a little bit. But... some songs will go through like dramatic reinventions from like the initial idea. I think I did an initial demo of the song "Like Suicide" that's on Super Unknown, and it essentially got vetoed.
Everybody just said nope.
Yeah, you know, but it was a nope with a well. There's we like it, but there's things about it, you know, or it was just sort of an overall. It's not working.
Does that hurt your feelings at the time?
Well, yeah, I think everybody's sensitive, you know, to that. It's not so much a hurt your feelings, but because we've always been pretty supportive of each other creatively. But it's disappointment. But at the same time, I think that's an important aspect of a band. I think, you know, that's what makes you sound like who you are, is that and also it's in a way a secure feeling, because most of the songs that were actually vetoed that didn't become Soundgarden songs, for me, when I go back and listen to them, I you know, one after the other, I'm thinking, oh, thank God.
This is a good thing. This is definitely a good thing.
What was I thinking?
This is the voice of Chris Cornell here on the Kevin DeMeade Show. You brought up Like Suicide. We pulled a little piece of that from this Super Unknown 20th anniversary reissue package. This is not the demo version, but this is the acoustic version. I guess this is just you and guitar singing a little bit of it before the band got in and added their part. And you'll get I think this will be a great example of why this reissue is so awesome, because you get a chance to hear these songs in their early days. Listen up.
Heard it from another room as we're waking up. just to fall asleep. Love's like suicide.
That sounds cool. Yeah. You're showing off now, man. And then you, and then, of course,
then.
And then the version we know from the, you know, from the album with all the, with the band on, it's a completely different thing. It's so cool to have this little piece of history in our hands. Comes out on June 3rd. Chris Cornell is here. We'll talk more with Soundgarden when we return right after this one. Chris Cornell in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about Soundgarden and the Super Unknown 20th anniversary re-release. Available at retailers everywhere, in store, and for download on June 3rd. A couple of different versions you can get. You can get a 2-CD version. You can get the big box set, which is 5 discs. And you guys also put out something for Record Store Day, which was all the singles on vinyl. Are you a vinyl guy yourself, Chris?
I actually still have all the vinyl I think I ever had. And right now it's in storage.
That's heavy when it comes to moving, by the way. The vinyl is so much heavier than any other kind of format.
That's why it's still in storage.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I remember in, I don't know, probably from the time I moved out of my mom's house, which I was 17, I think I moved every 6 months for like the next 11 years. And
wow.
I don't think I had much in the way of furniture. I had a bed and I had the crates of vinyl. And I remember that being a hassle, especially because you can't just put vinyl in the backseat of your car on a hot day.
Right, right.
So it was a sensitive thing. But yeah, I have a lot of stuff. And I bought a lot of import. Like I bought Dirty Deeds by AC/DC in the import section of Tower Records, because when it came out, and I'm a kid, you know, this is still 70s, I think, they didn't release that record at first in the U.S., so you had to buy it as an import.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I remember it was like $13, which then was all the money I had.
Yeah.
It was like if you spent $150.
That was absurd, yeah.
And I still have it.
And by the way, totally worth every penny you spent for it, too.
Absolutely. And well, yeah, it probably was a... You know, listening to that record influenced a lot. I also have like 4 copies of Bridge of Sighs, though I never bought it. And the reason why is because all the bands I had rehearsed at my house. So guitar players would bring in Bridge of Sighs so you could learn songs on it and then leave it. And one day I was going through and I was like, oh, Bridge of Sighs, where did I get that? And then, another one. Where did I get that? Oh, another one. I don't think I've even ever listened to it, but I got it.
It may be time to pare that down a little bit.
Yeah, maybe I'll sell a couple. I'll eBay a couple. I'll have to figure out which one's in the best shape.
Always curious, when you bring up AC/DC or Robin Trower as influences, since you're Chris Cornell, you have the ability to meet these people, reach these people, hang out with these people. Do you ever do that?
I've never met anyone in AC/DC. But I think they stay away from me because I'm 6'2½".
And they're so tiny with their little shorts.
Bit. Yeah. Exactly.
They don't look like midgets.
I've never met Prince either. I did see Prince at the Beverly Hills Hotel once, though. And it was comical because I was walking down the hall sort of towards where his room was. And he had opened the door and was trying to push his room service cart out. And he was sort of struggling with it a little bit. And he had
it was too heavy for him?
I think maybe.
Because he's tiny.
And he had no shirt on. And he had a purple headband holding his hair back. And
of
it was awesome.
Of course he did.
Because he looked, he looked like Prince. Like he looked like he was on stage, but he was just pushing the card out. And he did that thing that you do when you have no shirt on and you're pushing a card out. You don't want to see another human being. And he saw me and he just started wrestling it out there and slammed the door because he didn't want to see me.
That's so much better than meeting him, by the way.
Yeah,
that's it's a phenomenal satisfying. Story.
It's a much funner story to tell.
Now, you were telling us during the break that Soundgarden's going to be out all summer. You're playing a lot of gigs, including Hyde Park in London in the summer. And you're playing with Black Sabbath. Now, do you know Ozzy?
I've met him a few times, yeah. He's a great guy, and he's always
Could
been a,
you do
a
what
supporter.
He does at his age, do you think? Do you think you'll be able to do what he's doing at his age?
I'm not – I don't think so in the way that he does it.
Yeah. I mean, that's 80 years from now. I mean, he's really old, but you got to give him credit for being out there, man.
Audioslave played with the original members version of Black Sabbath a few years ago at a festival in Germany. And we were knocked over by him. And you know, Ozzy's he's very sort of quiet and relaxed at this point, you know, and when he goes on stage, I don't know where he gets that from.
Right.
But I would say the same thing about Like when I saw Scorsese's Shine a Light on the Rolling Stones, and I was on tour when I saw that and was watching a DVD kind of in the middle of the night, and I just played a show. And then I'm watching Mick Jagger, who by then was already mid-60s, right? Late 60s.
Or close to 70, right. Even yeah. when that came out. Because I think he's like 73 now or something.
And thinking, I can't do that now.
I don't press you a little bit?
I don't even try to do that.
No, he's unbelievable. I saw the Stones last year at the Hyde Park show. You're playing this year's version. I saw them last year, the British Summertime show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was exhausted watching the show. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine how those guys are able to get up there and do it. It's astonishing.
Yeah.
And he's a great grandfather now, by the way.
Really?
Great-grandfather. Yeah. Great-grandfather. You have a local show coming up at the Hollywood Bowl with Nine Inch Nails. Is this the only date you two are doing together, or are you guys going out for a bunch?
We have a whole summer tour together.
Who goes first?
A band called the Death Grips goes first, and then us, and then Nine Inch Nails. And it's billed as a co-headlining tour. But I sort of view it as a package tour that – Soundgarden did we did several of those early on in our career where it's a group of bands, like three bands, where they're not from the same genre, they're not from the same place. So whoever's going to these shows is seeing three bands that essentially, in terms of genre, have nothing to do with each other, but kind of makes sense as a package.
Right.
And if you're a fan of any of the three, you maybe become a fan of the other two. And that's something that I'm really happy that we're doing. I want this to kind of be one of those tours where people talk about it in 10 years.
You like playing in front of people who may not necessarily be there for you first.
I think there's always something to that it brings out a different side to you, you know. I don't think being comfortable on stage in the world of rock and roll is really necessarily the best thing. You know, I think that some of that raw energy comes out of you because you have a fish out of water feeling.
A little challenge more than...
Yeah, you're under a microscope and you react weird, and that's how you probably ended up on stage in the first place. You know, at some point you had to decide that was the way you were going to deal with life. And I also feel like there's a satisfaction you get out of that when you feel like we turned those guys around. We didn't have them in the beginning, but we turned them around. that's always like the most satisfying, I think, in terms of a live show.
Well, you certainly get your money's worth with that, Bill. You mentioned the Death Grips opening and then Soundgarden and Nine Inch Nails. That's all at the Hollywood Bowl. That's coming up on August the 25th. Tickets available right now through Ticketmaster.com. You had 16 years between the last two Soundgarden albums. And the last one, King Animal, came out in November of 2012. So that means it's only been a couple. But are you talking about making another one?
Yeah, I think that at this point, you know, it's one of those things that's just going to start to naturally happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a cycle now because we're doing promotional tours and you know, we haven't been in a studio writing. But because everyone brings song ideas in, it goes from 0 to 60 really fast. And all of a sudden, everyone will have two things.
Pick up where you sort of left off.
And that's eight songs that you have to work on, and already you're well into making an album. And that could happen tomorrow. So
is it more difficult, less difficult, the same? Seems like a difficult process.
It's always a challenge, I think. You know, there's two ways to look at it. And one is, you know, when you've had a successful career and you've made a lot of records that you feel really good about, you know you can do it. You know,
right.
You've done this many times in a row and through all different situations. But the other side of it is that we've made a lot of albums. So, you know, how do you make the next one? And what is your reason for making it? You know, you've got to do something else. You know,
just repeating what you've already done.
Yeah, we've always got to reach. But having said that, we always naturally do that anyway. So
we always talk to musicians who say occasionally, you go into the studio, and you go, I don't know that I can do this again.
Mm-hmm.
That's behind you?
I think that's behind me. Yeah, I think that I always have an inner voice though that is saying, you're an idiot. You're an asshole. Are you kidding me? What?
We've said those same things about you, Chris.
Yes. Yeah. You guys can come, especially when I start tracking vocals. Like, wait till there's two notes that come out and then, really? Really?
Let me ask you this in our remaining moments here with Chris Cornell. Do you ever write music just for the sheer joy of it without having in mind, hey, one day this is going to be a record?
Yes. Spoon Man, for example, is that.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. The song Seasons is that.
Those were just for fun, for your pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Those were just...
You weren't thinking solo, you weren't thinking band, you weren't thinking anything.
No.
I want to write it.
Yeah. When Soundgarden formed, I didn't play instruments other than the drums. I was the original drummer. And it was this kind of post-punk indie world of anything goes, which meant to me, I can pick up a guitar even though I don't know how to play it, and anything that comes out of it is valid. So I never actually learned to play. I just sort of picked it up to contribute to songwriting. And the atmosphere in the band was very supportive of stuff that I wrote right away, you know, while still kind of being a chimpanzee on the guitar. I didn't know what I was doing. And that's sort of where it came from. So you know, it was always this experimental mood and this experimental feeling in terms of approaching songwriting and even making records.
You said supportive. That's, every once in a while, somebody's got to go, seriously, like, try again.
Well, I think that happens in every band. I think that there are components that include, you know, each individual member has an idea or an attitude about what a Soundgarden song should sound like. And I'm sure that's similar with any other band. And those are all different opinions, really. They're all different visions. And what makes what Soundgarden sounds like is the collection of those things. And I think us, for example, making an album after 15 years, starting to write it, I realized that more then than I'd ever realized it before. Because I think the first song I wrote lyrics to and a melody to was to a demo that Matt brought in. And as I started writing lyrics and singing to it, it occurred to me that he's the only guy I write like that with, not even close to anything else. And then that happened with Ben's ideas and Kim's. And then writing my own songs by myself for Soundgarden, I'm writing in a different way. I'm writing specifically for that mood. And what I imagine this band is always sounding like, or pushing the boundaries of what this band sounds like in a way that's appropriate for this band. And then it occurred to me that chemistry aspect is the most important thing.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that process with it. It's always so interesting for us to kind of get inside how the records are made. We love that. And if you love Soundgarden, Super Unknown 20th Anniversary Release is something you got to pick up June 3rd. It's got demos and acoustic versions and live versions and rehearsals. I mean, it's frankly more Soundgarden than you ever really need.
Yeah, probably.
And you can see him in concert with Nine Inch Nails at the Hollywood Bowl. That show is Monday, August 25th. Tickets available right now through Ticketmaster.com. So great of you to stop by, Chris. Always enjoyable.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 2 minutes till 9.
Lisa didn't talk much during the Chris Cornell interview, but she almost drowned in a puddle of her own drool.
He's kind of dreamy.
He's kind of dreamy.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to argue.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to ask what's up with Florida coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the showbiz. Be here's Ralph.
Before I get to show business news, kind of a big week for me. I'm just saying.
Is this the cartoon week?
Tomorrow is comic book day.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, I know you do. That's why I just moved on. My comic book, Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet, comes out digitally tomorrow.
Yay!
So you can go to wherever you go to get your digital comics. That's Comixology or Kindle through Amazon or iTunes or whatever you do. But, that drops tomorrow. And also, as well, to Tambien, I got A Million Ways to Die in the West coming out in a little bit. So
it's your world, man.
A Million Ways to Die in the West, of course, but the genius of Seth MacFarlane is behind this film, the man who gave you Ted and Family Guy. Also stars my other good friends, Charlize Theron, of course. She's in
sure.
it. Giovanni Ribisi, Sarah Silverman. Liam Neeson, my good friend Liam Neeson, also in it.
He's your good friend?
Good friend.
Oh. Did you meet him at all?
I have never met Liam Neeson. I got a chance to see this film last week. Could not be more proud to have a very small part of this film, but it's very funny. You are going to love it. I want to give you a chance to see it before anybody else. Movies in theaters everywhere on the 30th. But we're having a special K-Rock screening of A Million Ways to Die in the West on May the 27th. At the AMC Burbank 16. So if you'd like to go, five winners right now will get a pair of passes to see A Million Ways to Die in the West. +1 800 520 1067 is the number to call. Call now. First five callers to get through at that number. You get a chance to see the movie and play the Where's Waldo version of Ralph Garman. You get to find me in that film.
I saw your facial hair in the trailer.
My facial hair is there. I promise you that.
Yep.
And you might even see my face for a few moments here and there.
Good time. I think you're selling yourself short. You actually have lines in this film.
I do. I do have...
Okay, yeah. So people will definitely see you.
I have... four or five lines in this film.
That's a lot of
four
lines.
Four or five more than we have.
So you will eventually see me.
Talking to Seth MacFarlane on, I believe, Thursday this week.
I believe you're right. Hot fudge, holy moly!
Yeah! Hot fudge, holy moly! What's going on? Hot fudge, holy moly! I'm gonna have some fun!
It's almost upon us!
What?
What?
The Kimye wedding! The Kimye wedding happens this Saturday in Florence, Italy. At a fort.
At a fort?
At a 16th century fort. 250 guests, an international affair. Flowers, music, love in the air.
I bet Kanye's performing.
I'm sure he will
be. At his own wedding.
I'm sure he will be. My favorite story so far coming out of the preparations for the wedding are the fact that the Kardashian family is bringing with them their trainer.
Really?
Yeah.
How long are they there?
Just a week. But they got to have fitness guru Gunnar Pedersen.
Oh, Gunnar does good work.
To fly with them to train them on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So apparently day of the wedding, they will be training.
Wow.
Kim is said to have bought 12 suitcases for the week-long trip. If you think that's a lot of baggage, you should meet her mother.
Yeah.
But,
hey.
By the way, whatever she's been doing is working. She might look better right now than she ever has.
Kim does look great. However, whatever she's doing to her face, the Botox injections or the fillers in her lips or whatever, is slowly morphing her into a middle-aged Beverly Hills housewife.
Uh-oh.
She's a young, beautiful woman. She's always been hot, and I don't know why she felt the need to start tinkering at this stage in her life. But it is starting to take on an unnatural appearance.
I would guess you would want to start tinkering as late as possible in your life.
I would think. Or wait until you have to. She never seemed like she had to.
I agree.
At this point. But it's starting to get a little duck lippy and just a little... It's a weird sort of artifice to now her face. And it's very strange.
It is weird that somebody who is so naturally beautiful was lucky enough to be blessed with those good genes and those good bones would screw with it.
Yeah. I think there's an air of insecurity that is fostered by the matriarch of that family.
Sure.
That makes you panic a little early on.
I don't doubt that.
So, sad, sad news. But it's okay. The photographers are very far away.
They are.
Shh. Today's celebrity birthdays. Busta Rhymes is 42 years old today. Timothy Olyphant, you know him from Justified, of course, in the movie Hitman. 46 years old. Tony Goldwyn is 54. And singer Cher celebrates her 68th birthday.
All right, Cher. I used to live under her stairs in the basement. She would put a bowl of water down and then feed me a grilled cheese sandwich twice a week. I love Cher.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, I got a question for you guys real quick.
Yeah.
What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! Bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
All these years later, we are still compiling lots of evidence to suggest that the Sunshine State is the most honked up of all the states in the Union, but I don't think we're any closer to realizing why Florida is the way it is.
It's not even close, by the way.
No,
Florida
it's not
is
even
like
close.
Spots 1 through 10.
Yeah.
I know, it really is. It's unbelievable the stuff that happens every single week in Florida. And Kevin, we're going to close today with the Florida version of you. I think you're going to be very excited to hear that story.
How dare you?
We start, however, with Peter Canaris, who was found passed out in a bathroom in a Sears location in Port Richey on US 19. He used a box cutter to cut the labels off of several items. They are unspecified in the article. He was trying to do some shoplifting, but for whatever reason, he put the items in his pocket, but also somehow managed to cut himself, went into the bathroom. A security guard later found the man, 31 years old, passed out. Unclear whether he had lost consciousness because he was drunk or because he was bleeding out.
Oh, my God.
That's how badly he cut himself with the box cutter. This guy may be the worst shoplifter ever. Like, you would think when you're going into shoplift from a Sears that the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to get caught and you're going to get arrested. Not that you're going to be unconscious on the bathroom floor.
I don't think you consider death as an option.
Wow.
No, they searched the man and found the stolen items on his person along with Xanax pills and several grams of marijuana. He has been arrested and charged with all. And by the way, he was sent to the Lando Lakes Jail. That sounds like such a pleasant place to
visit. It does.
It
sounds
fun. Lando Lakes. Here's a Fort Lauderdale woman. She had an outstanding warrant, and that's what got her in trouble. She's in Palm Beach. She calls 911 to ask the police to come because she says she's at somebody's home with another woman, and that the homeowner owed them $500 for services, but that they had only been paid $380. It doesn't say what those services were, but she lists herself as a chef and companion. That's what she says her profession is.
Chef and companion.
Oh,
those are two
nice.
Very different things.
By the way, best hooker in the world if she also could cook, though, right?
Agreed.
Pay
her money.
She calls the police because he is withholding $120 of her $500 fee. The cops get there and they say, look, lady, there's nothing we can do about this. This is a civil matter. And there's no laws being broken here. But by the way, why do you have an outstanding warrant in your name? I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you have any drugs on you? And then she confessed to the police officer that she had called that, yes, she did have a bag of weed in her vagina.
Wow.
So it just seems like maybe you check that maybe before you call the cops in, is that you don't have any pot on you. I don't.
If she's a companion,
yes.
Wasn't that area being used?
I would imagine I have many questions. Yeah. It's unless she's just packing up to go home. I don't know. Very unusual that we have a case of an 89-year-old shooting somebody to death, and it was his own son-in-law. He has been charged. He has been charged with, you know what, I'm sorry, did not shoot him to death, just wounded him gravely. He's been charged with aggravated battery. He got into a fight with his 59-year-old son-in-law. He lives with his daughter and her husband. They're having an argument over what to watch on TV. The dad says, you don't own anything in this house. The son-in-law says, oh, yeah, do something about it. So he goes into the bedroom and returns with a .38 caliber handgun. The argument heats up, and the man shoots his son-in-law in the right leg. He's been arrested for aggravated domestic battery. Again, 89 years old, you just don't see a guy losing his temper, going and pulling out a gun and shooting a family member.
Let old people watch what they want.
Seriously.
I think that's a good policy to live by.
Right.
Two more stories on this week's What's Up with Florida. The details have now been released of a tragic traffic accident from 2 months ago. It happened on the 9th of March, but it has finally been revealed how this poor man lost his wife in a traffic accident. It turns out that they were having sex while they were driving.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa the man May. Passed.
Yes.
The man passed
Lisa
three.
I almost got in an accident.
Lisa May.
She was naked from the waist down and sitting on her husband's lap when the car went into a canal. They passed three dead-end warning signs before they drove off the end of the roadway and vaulted across the water-filled canal. The arrest report said the wife was not wearing any clothes below the waist and was on her husband's lap at the time. He was also seriously injured and taken to the hospital. Now he's not only a widower, now he's being charged with a drunk driving death. So no bueno there. All right, Kevin, here's your man. Are you ready?
Sure.
Delray Beach. He's having dinner at the Dubliner Irish Pub in Misner Park when he realizes his debit card has been declined. So he decides to skip out on the bill. Couple of problems with his escape plan. One is he left his debit card there at the restaurant, which had his name on it, so he wasn't going to get away cleanly. They were going to be able to find him. It was only a $30 bar tab, by the way. But what brings you to mind is that he got into the wrong car
How
as he tried
you.
To leave
restaurant.
That is absurd. No one should ever do that.
You have a lot of experience with leaving an Irish restaurant and pub and getting into the wrong car.
I'm sure I have no idea what you're speaking of.
He ran out of the bar. Police say went to make a getaway in his black Mercedes, but according to police, he was so drunk that he got into the wrong car. He was arrested by police when they found him sitting in the black Mercedes trying to start the car. So he's really Florida's version of you.
How dare he contribute
to this week's What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Well, speaking of reunions, mm-hmm. there was a reunion over the weekend.
Oh, were we speaking of coming together?
The Runaways.
Wow, the Runaways
sounded great.
Well, let me explain.
What?
It was only for a photo.
What?
Basically. Well, so what happened was Joan Jett was at a Women in Rock Award thing at the Nokia Theater.
And they played together?
And Sheree Curry and Lita Ford was there.
Right, so they played together?
And they all got together and posed for a photo.
Oh.
And if you want to check that photo out, mm-hmm. you can go online at www.LitaFordOnline.com and you see it in color. Yeah.
Color?
Sheree Curry, Joan Jett, and Lita Ford.
Did he say color?
All in one photo.
I got to go, guys. I got to get to a computer. They have color photos on the internet now.
It's in color, you guys. You seem to be overly impressed by that.
I'm going to have to go out and buy one of those color monitors for my computer.
Oh, yeah. What are you going to do now? You're not going to be able to see it unless you do.
I've been waiting for color content so I can finally spend the money to get one of those color monitors. But now that they're putting color on the internet.
By the way, if you get together for a photo, that is not a reunion.
No, not at all. An Instagram moment.
That's correct.
Time for the final showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show with Ralph Garvin.
Speaking of music, fascinating study released today. This is an actual scientific study of the world's greatest popular singers. And by greatest, I mean these are the ones with the best vocal range, which is a component to great singers, I think.
Sure.
Someone who can hit the low notes, support those all the way up until the high notes.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Those
are the high notes.
Oh, no, these are the low notes.
Oh, those are the high notes.
Now.
Yeah.
Hey, let that finish, Bean. What's wrong with you?
Right there at the top.
I have heard that Mariah Carey has a multi-octave range.
She does. She is certainly in the top 10 on this study. And this is science, by the way. So I want to hear in your carpin, okay? Just sell your sausage somewhere else if you don't like it.
We can't complain about this list?
These are facts. Mariah Carey, second on the list.
Ooh.
Second greatest vocal range of all popular singers.
Christina Aguilera.
Now, these aren't opera singers, okay? These aren't freaks. These are just people who play songs that we play on the radio, that you hear on the radio. Top pop rock sort of singers.
Okay. Adele Dazeem
did not make the list, as far as I can tell. Here's the rest of your top 10. Start at number 10 and work our way up. Tom York, 10th on the list.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, he does have that
High falsetto. You know,
that rubbery voice, it seems like he can do a lot with. Sure.
Very impressive range. Paul McCartney was 9th. David Bowie, 8th. Christina Aguilera, 7th. 6th was Marvin Gaye, great soul R&B singer Marvin Gaye. Speaking of R&B, James Brown, 5th on the list.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Get on the good foot.
That's not singing.
He was a great vocalist, but it was all kind of in the same range that I remember.
Wrong! Science.
Apparently so.
Low notes to high notes, 5th.
All right.
Steven Tyler. Well, no surprise there. He does have one of the great rock and roll voices of all time.
Yeah, that's true.
4th on the list. Prince, 3rd.
Oh, sure.
As I mentioned, Mariah Carey was 2nd. You may be shocked at who number 1 was.
Bob Dylan.
You would be shocked if that was the case.
It's science.
Who's number 1?
This is Ed Asner.
No?
Is it Ed Asner?
Ed did not make...
Gary Busey.
Is it somebody that we're going to kick ourselves for?
Yeah. When you think of it, you go, oh my God, yes, the highest of
Michael
highs.
Jackson.
And the lowest of lows.
Highest of highs, lowest of lows.
Bill Bixby.
These are good guesses.
Not a
female or male?
Male.
Oh, good. Male.
Do I have to tell you it's Olivia Newton-John?
It's not, Casey. Go back to Washington State.
Leave us be.
To know.
I don't know.
Axl Rose.
Axl Rose. Of course.
The best vocal range in pop music. Something, huh?
Never uses it.
Asshole.
Well, he did back in the day.
Sure.
Freddie Mercury, I was surprised, 11th. He was just out of the top 10. But certainly belongs there. Elvis Presley had a great vocal range. Did you know that? He was 12.
Yes.
He was 12.
I didn't know that.
John Lennon, 13th. And then in the mid-range, you get some people that you might expect would do better. Michael Jackson, just in the middle of the pack.
That's because he can't sing low.
Maybe that's why. In there with Buddy Holly, Iggy Pop, Miley Cyrus, Justin Timberlake.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Amy Winehouse not on this list as far as...
Wild Cherry.
Let's get to the bottom of the list.
Okay.
Here's some of the crappiest singers. The absolute crappiest is a guy named Luke Bryan.
I don't know him.
He's a country
superstar
singer.
Superstar country singer. Okay.
Yeah, his range is about this. It's about...
Two notes?
About two notes. Right there in the... He can't go low, can't go high. He's just got a mid-range. That's all he's got.
Okay.
He's the last one on the list. The one he just beat out for worst...
Weird Al Yankovic.
Taylor Swift.
How dare you?
Taylor Swift! It's science! It's science. It is science.
Hey, I'm Taylor Swift.
And you can't sing very high or very low.
Or very good.
Speaking of which, Taylor Swift, she's getting sued.
Excellent.
Sued, I hope.
I hope they win.
From a major clothing manufacturer. She has a clothing line out there called Lucky 13, because that's her luckiest number, 13. And so her clothes, Lucky 13, are out there in stores. Only one problem. A little Orange County-based apparel company called, wait for it, Lucky 13.
What the hell?
It's been around for a while, right?
1991 is when they were founded. You see them everywhere.
Well, she's dumb.
Bobby Closely is the owner of that company, and he has sued her today for infringement. Here's the thing. He contacted her, she and her people, and said, hey, can't do that. I got the Lucky 13 all locked up over here, copyright.
So he didn't go to court right away.
No, he tried to do the right thing.
Wow. That's rare.
And she was busy being a whore somewhere, and didn't get his message. She was whoring up and didn't get a message.
Sure. She was whoring up.
Heard people said, sorry, she's all busy whoring. I'll take a message, though.
She may have been visiting dying kids with cancer in a hospital, though.
Or
she may have been doing that.
Giving kids cancer, more likely.
Doesn't it seem like there must have been somebody who works in her company whose job it would have been to search that out and make sure that mistake was not made? Because clearly she's in the wrong here.
His legal team connected with her camp. There was no resolution, so... Boom. Now,
doing a trademark search is the first thing you do when you start a business with a name, right?
Unless
you're a whore.
That's right. Because whores can't use the internet.
That's right.
That's science.
That's science.
That's right.
And you know, I like Taylor Swift.
No, you don't.
Beyond cute. She's really tall, you know. She's not going to go for me, that's for sure.
No kidding.
If she was a little bit shorter, I think she would go for you, though.
It's science.
So not only can't she sing, but she can't use the internet or research copyrights. She's a thief and a bad person.
Oh,
that's all I'm saying.
You stupid.
Just that. That's all. Lucky 13.
That's my lucky number.
I guess it isn't anymore. Lawsuit girl. Michael Jace, who was a star of the TV show The Shield. This is tragic news. He has been charged today in the fatal shooting of his wife. April Jace, 40 years old, was found shot to death in her South Los Angeles home. Police called there to investigate the shooting. Apparently, he called 911 and said, I shot my wife.
Wow.
So he has been detained.
But he didn't shoot the deputy, though. Nope.
Wow.
Denied. File with prejudice. No drum roll. No rim shot.
No sheriff.
Doesn't even make sense. Doesn't even make sense.
Not even connected. No! Stop it. Stop playing the rim shot.
Doesn't even make sense.
You may remember Michael Jace as playing Julian Lowe on the Shield. He was the rookie officer who was gay, trying to keep sexuality a secret. And he was great on that show.
Yes, he was.
This is a tragedy.
Yes, it is.
And it's bad stuff. Bad stuff. Our friend Shailene Woodley is back in the news. Remember her, Sunny Vagina?
Sure.
Oh, right.
That's her Twitter handle. At Sunny Vagina, you can follow her there. She's busy pulling things out of her teeth with oil, and she's got a leaky gut, I think. She's eating clouds these days.
That's true.
On my vagina makes me happy.
She doesn't have a home.
What?
She lives her life in an extremely portable fashion.
Car?
She's given away everything she owns, except for a few items of clothing, a computer, and a carry-on suitcase.
Okay.
She discovered that she would rather be with friends, so she let her grandmother move into her house. She no longer lives in her house. She says, I spend my time working and just couch surfing on friends' couches. This girl's got everything.
Wow. They must hate getting that call from her. Hey, I got nothing going on.
Hi,
right now.
I'm not filming right now. Can I stay at your house
for a couple of months?
Oh, God, here we go. Get the sun lamp out. Sunny Vagina's coming over. She's an odd duck, this Shailene Woodley.
Yep.
But she seems happy
really
enough,
is.
So.
What do you know? But I think there's, I don't agree with not having a place to live, but I think there is something to be said for people who get rid of most of their possessions have a lot fewer details to worry about, a lot fewer problems, a lot fewer hassles.
Well, and
I think having
never
a bunch
home.
Of having a bunch of stuff, I think, creates work for you. I can understand wanting to pare down to just the essentials.
Would you
that.
Go so far as to say, "More money, more problems"?
I think that's accurate. Yeah, I do. Right. But you know what I'm saying?
I think people who have less stuff have less stuff.
Well, that's accurate. That's hard to argue.
Thank
as well.
You. And I like
something very,
I like,
very appealing
I like my
about
stuff.
That.
I like having my stuff. I don't have any problems with my stuff. You know when I have problems? When I don't have my stuff. That's when I have problems. When I'm out and about, I go, you know, where's that thing I like? Where I need that. Don't have it. Don't have my stuff. I like my stuff.
Is that part of why you are adverse to traveling, Ralph? Is because you'd rather be at home where you have the things that you enjoy? That
I do enjoy my home. I like being surrounded by my home and my things. I enjoy my home.
Transporting his Batman collection is very expensive.
Yeah, I do not have a pocket-sized collection, that's for sure. But Bean is a simple man. He lives in a simple way.
He does.
With his three or four houses he's got. You know, it's just, you pare down just to the three or four. That's all you need, I think. That way, those minimal things you own, you can just put one in each house.
Thank you, Ralph.
You're welcome. Today's celebrity birthdays, Busta Rhymes is 42. Hey, Busta. Hey, Busta, can we talk to you for a minute?
Busta Bus! Flip mode in the house! Bus!
Can't imagine why he didn't run over to be interviewed by Beer Mug. You must terrify people on the red carpet. You must just terrify them.
Don't go over by that crazy guy.
Who's the lunatic homeless man? Why does he want to talk to me?
Why is he not wearing shoes?
His microphone's not even plugged into anything. Timothy Oliphant is 46 years old. Tony Goldwyn, very talented actor and director and producer. He is 54. He's the president on the scandal, right? Or is, or was, or will be, or something.
He is. Yeah. He certainly is. And the ladies love that Tony Goldwyn, man.
He's a good-looking fella. And singer Cher celebrates her 68th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, something called Kevin's Trailer Park.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow.
Finally, Kevin tells you what movies to go see. Just by looking at the trailers.
We have to have Kat in. We have to talk to her about her commercials in which she's using the great voiceover artist that is Beer Mug.
Well, when you want a commercial, you want it to get the best.
There's a new TV show. I believe it debuts tonight called I Want to Marry Harry.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. And I must have been gone when this decision was made, this decision process.
Yeah, it was made Monday when you were gone.
I see.
Yeah.
You're going to have the guy in who's the fake prince.
Yes.
That should be good.
And also, we have tickets in the third row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast. That's tomorrow morning. Keep listening for your chance to win in the fourth row all day today.